Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Last week, we began looking at another dimension of work of the Holy Spirit, and that was how Holy Spirit transforms and leads us inwardly. So He's led us upwardly towards, and now He's leading us inwardly. And last week we spoke from Galatians 5 that His transformation, that the transformation is not self-improvement with a Bible verse attached to it. Okay? So let me rephrase that. Transformation of us as believers is not self-improvement with a Bible verse attached to it. You see, Holy Spirit comes to dwell, He comes to dwell within us so that we can learn to live out the brand new life we have received, the life of sonship. This is the task of Holy Spirit, to help us live as sons and as daughters. And last week, we touched on this in Galatians, where Paul encourages us to do three things: to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. So last week, we just touched on those three things, how important that is. Because we also said last week that it is actually easy to be a child of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit already, who then comes and wants to walk with us, wants to lead us, and wants us to keep in step with Him, and that equals living in our sonship. So it's not that difficult. But today I want to take us back to Galatians. I want to take us back to the same passage and flesh that out a little bit, because when I'm walking by the Spirit, when I'm led by the Spirit, when I'm keeping in step with the Spirit, then Paul highlights that something should change, and it should be obvious. So if you've got your Bibles, I hope you do, let's grab our Bibles and let's turn to Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25. As you're doing that, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are here. We thank You that You are moving. You have moved upon us, and You continue to move upon us. And I pray that You'll help us to hear Your voice this morning as You reveal to us a fresh revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I've titled part 5, Growing with the Spirit. Last week was Walking with the Spirit. This week is Growing with the Spirit. A Spirit-led life, growing with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, as I said, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Flesh being the old way of living independently of God. Important to note this. Right? It says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh being the old way of living independently of God. But verse 19 is where Paul basically says, along the lines of when the flesh, remember, is living independently of God, when the flesh is allowed to lead, it produces these things. And then he goes into a list. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Notice, obvious. They are obvious. Very interesting language. They are obvious. I want us to give verse 19 some other language and help us look at different translations, because maybe there's some words like debauchery there that you don't really understand. So let's go into the Message translation. This is 5 verse 19 to 21 in the Message. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs of happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotent, that word, to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. It's pretty in your face. Yeah? Right. One more. Passion Translation. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred for those of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, take note of the senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, made the list, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behaviors. Wow. Did you notice that all three translations use one word? Obvious. Let's go back to the NIV because this is where I want us to just focus today. NIV says the acts, the New King James Version talks about the works of the flesh. In other words, the old way of living independently are obvious. I don't know if you notice anything in this that I have here that really stands out to you. The word obvious, of course. But if you have a look at the punctuation, there's three semicolons. Now, the New King James Version, Spirit-filled Bible, study notes, out of that says that the works of the flesh may be categorized as, first of all, sexual sins, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Secondly, in verse 20, sins connected with pagan religion. That's the first two. Thirdly, sins of temper, which is the next eight, which is hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And then lastly, sins of drunkenness, which is the last two, drunkenness and orgies. Now, we could look at verse 19 and say, oh, that's a bit out there. Not something I would do. But what is really interesting is Paul also includes things that are closer to home, like jealousy and anger, selfish ambition, division, envy, etc., etc. And suddenly, this scripture also has meaning towards us. We cannot just dismiss and think that, oh, that happens out there to someone else. Because the obvious works of the flesh actually shows up in our homes. It actually shows up in our relationships. It actually shows up in our workplaces and sadly, even the church family. Tough word this morning, but it's the truth. But what I love about Paul, though, is he does not leave us hanging. You see, in verse 19, he calls it the works of the flesh or the acts of the flesh. But in verse 22, he changes the language and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody go, whew. Yeah, it gets a little bit lighter, you think. But he's talking about works and fruit. So I want to have us take a look at the difference between what works are and what flesh is. All right? Works of the flesh and what the fruit of the Spirit is. So works here is ergar, which means deeds and actions and things done. It's what the flesh expresses through the way we live. The fruit is karpos, which is produce or result. These are the Greek words, or the outcome. The fruit is what grows and becomes evident from the life within. This is interesting, and this is really important. You see, in the natural, you don't walk into an orchard and see this. Is this happening there, the back? The next slide, are we hanging? No, the next one. There you go. We don't see this. We do not see an apple tree sweating, straining, and shouting, come on, produce that apple. Try a little harder. You're not trying hard enough, yeah? If the apple tree's roots are healthy, if the tree is alive, if it is receiving the nutrition, then eventually what is happening on the inside becomes visible on the outside. You've got healthy leaves, you've got blossoms, you've got baby fruit, you've got fruit. Fruit is not manufactured. It grows from the life within. So Paul contrasts what flows from the flesh with what grows through the Spirit. Hear what I'm saying? Paul contrasts what flows from the flesh with what grows through the Spirit. And this is really important for us to understand, because the fruit of the Spirit is not Christian behavior that we are desperately trying to manufacture. Fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus being cultivated within us by the Holy Spirit, which then becomes more and more evident through our lives. You see, fruit is not something we produce. Fruit is something that grows. Now, let's have a look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's a but there, which is a hope. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please take note that Paul does not say the fruit of people who have finally got themselves together. Please note that Paul does not say the fruit of disciplined Christians. He does also not say that it is the fruit of mature people who've been in church for 40 years, 60 years, 100 years, 1 year. He is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it the fruit of the Spirit? Have you thought? Because Holy Spirit is the source of the fruit. Important. Holy Spirit is the source of the fruit. Now, church, we've got to get this. Because we can spend years and years performing kindness when people are watching. We can suppress anger because we don't want the people to know what is happening in us or in our family or in our marriages or in our homes or with our kids. So we suppress the anger. We can spend years and years appearing patient because we've learned how we are supposed to behave. Pauline and I were part of a culture that was very much like that. We can spend years smiling on the outside, where on the inside we are eternally hurting and broken. And if we're not careful, our walk with God becomes more about managing our behavior than allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us and our hearts. And I think that's where the church, has failed. We're trying to manage the behavior instead of allowing Holy Spirit to transform our hearts, transform us from the inside out. You see, the Holy Spirit is all about inner transformation. He doesn't simply want me to act loving. He wants to form the love of Jesus within me so that I love Him, hear me, love myself, and then love others as I love myself. Yeah? He doesn't simply want me to look peaceful. He wants to establish the peace of Christ within me so it permeates me. It permeates my marriage. It permeates my family, my relationship, my finances, my work, my business, my everything. He isn't simply changing my behavior. He's transforming my character. What do I mean by that? He's making me more and more like Jesus. And it's that. It's exactly that. Making me more and more like Jesus, which is the continuous inward work of the Holy Spirit. That is his work. The inward work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another detail here I don't want us to miss. If we can have the next slide, Chewy, that'll be great. The fruit of the Spirit. What do you notice about it? It is singular. Well done, Chris. You can get a coffee afterwards. It is singular, people. It's not fruits of the Spirit, as many people say. It is fruit of the Spirit, and it's followed by 9 expressions of that fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's understand right now that Paul is not giving us 9 options to choose from. He's describing the Spirit-shaped character of a transformed life. Now, when we look at that character, who do you think of? Jesus. Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's him. That's who he is. We think of Jesus, right? So the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus increasingly being formed in us. The whole life, not a bit, the whole life is to be transformed. This fruit of the Spirit is not a spiritual personality test where we get to choose the qualities that suit us. Oh, Pastor, I know what the Bible says about patience, but that ain't me. I was at the back of the line when patience was dealt out. I've heard that many times. Pastor, I know the Bible talks about being gentle, but I'm a hip shooter. I give it just like it is. Well, coming from Africa and being in a war and knowing what a shooter does, anything that shoots wounds or kills. Folks, can we stop using our personality traits as an excuse for our behavior that doesn't look like Jesus? Can we start realizing that Holy Spirit is here transforming us as the church? He's not reinforcing our personality. You see, the Spirit of Christ is forming the character of Christ in the people of Christ. That's what he's doing. As a child of God, he's transforming your and my character daily. Which raises a really important question. How does that happen? How does he transform it? In other words, how does this fruit that we've been talking about, how does it actually grow? Because you know what? Let's be real. When I read Galatians 5, I can think, okay, JJ, I'm hearing you. I now need to try harder to be loving. I'll try harder to be patient with my kids. I'll try harder to have more self-control. And guess what? Suddenly we're back to trying to manufacture the fruit. We're not here to manufacture the fruit. So how does that grow? I'm glad you asked the question because I wrote down the answer. Jesus answers it in John 15, verses 4 to 5. He says this, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Hello, there's 3 remains in 2 sentences. I think he's quite intentional about us remaining. So what does remain mean? Meno, stay, abide, dwell. I love this one. Make your home in. Let's reread this. Make your home in me as I also make my home in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must make its home in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you make your home in me. Wow. And then he goes on in verses 5 and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If, there's a word if, it's a choice. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now that gripped me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I immediately thought, how many of us as believers, as the church, are currently busy with nothingness? I don't know about you, but that was like, oof. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I love the Passion Translation. Let's look at the Passion Translation. Next slide. Is as you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream. The word will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. I won't say it. I'll move on. But allow me to say this. A branch doesn't bear fruit by visiting the vine for 90 minutes on a Sunday. A branch doesn't bear fruit by visiting the church gathering once every 3 weeks. A branch bears fruit because it remains connected to the vine, the source, 24/7, 365 days of the year, constantly receiving its life from the vine. We need to be connected to the vine. Doesn't help we come on a Sunday and then Monday through Saturday we disengage, disconnect. So right there in that scripture, in the Passion Translation, is our answer to our question on how does the fruit grow? Live in constant union with me as your source. Live. Not connect and disconnect. Live. It's a constant thing. Live in constant union with me as your source. So this is really important. Really, really important to get. Because the more I remain in Jesus, there's the word remain, the more his word remains in me. The more his word remains in me, the more I surrender to the Holy Spirit. And I walk, and I'm led, and I keep in step. And the more he reshapes my life. It's really important. That's why prayer matters. That's why, you know, I look back and we did prayer, the prayer series a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, wow, that was led by, I mean, we didn't plan this. But that was led by Holy Spirit, because that's why prayer matters, scripture matters, sitting under the word matters, that's why worship matters. But it's not just a Sunday thing, it's a Monday to a Sunday thing. It's a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of being in the word, a lifestyle of worship. Not because we're ticking boxes of spiritual discipline, but because these are the ways we remain connected to the vine. These are the ways that we remain connected to Jesus. Prayer, word, worship. Prayer, word, worship. Repeat. Not as a task, not to tick a box, but as a lifestyle. A young man asked me, one of the guys that I'm mentoring, he says, how do you remain constantly in prayer and in the word every morning? I said, because I love him. I love it. Folks, I wouldn't be able to bring this kind of word and revelation if I wasn't spending time first in prayer, then in here, connected to the vine. Because where's the source? In the vine. Anybody, you're all okay? All right? You're learning? I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning from this. Now, there's something else we need to understand about the fruit. Okay, and this is it. Fruit takes time. Somebody needs to hear this today. You see, you don't plant a tree today and expect mature fruit tomorrow. I think the most shocking revelation, I remember when I was a kid, we had an avocado. This is back in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia. Got an avocado. I'm like, I'm going to plant this pip and we're going to have our own avos. You know, you put your stick in and you put the water in and the next minute the roots came out and the next minute the shoot came out and I planted it and then I had it here. It's going to take 9 years before it bears fruit. Get rid of that thing. I'm not waiting 9 years. Hey, you don't plant a tree and expect mature fruit tomorrow. So don't get discouraged when growth feels slow. I should be further along than this. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should be better than this. No, 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 no. It's not necessary. Because small growth is still growth. Baby steps is still a step. Parents, any parents in the house? The rest of you are lying. Any parents in the house? Yeah, great. He's about to walk. He's about to walk. He took a step. He took a step. Auntie, he took a step. One step, and we celebrate. The Father celebrates when you take one step. One step. One step, one step, one step. And before you know it, he's not taking one step, he's running around. And you take out that dog holster thing, and you put it on him, and then you're controlling him. And I heard nowadays you've got one that you can click, and it pulls him back. And where was that when I had kids? I'm just asking the question. Small growth is still growth. Baby steps is still a step. We expect immediate transformation, but sometimes growth is seen in the way we slightly respond differently. Maybe anger still rises, but you recognize it sooner. Maybe fear comes and that anxiety wants to kick in, but doesn't control you for as long. Maybe you still got one step and you step out of step and you're going, oh, I've just failed. No, 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 no. But you repent sooner. That is growth. That is growth. That is fruit. That is fruit. You see, we acknowledge that fruit takes time, but it should grow. It should grow. We cannot spend year after year saying, well, that's just who I am. We can't, because it's not true. You see, as you keep walking with the Holy Spirit, as you're being led by the Spirit, as you keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you are being transformed. You are. You will be growing. You can't say, well, you know, 1 year's gone by, and I'm still exactly the same. No, no, no. Walk, be led, keep in step. You're growing. You are growing. I look across this family of ours. We've been here for 3 years. 3 years. We were commissioned on the 20th, 3 years ago. I look across this family, and we witness growth, not only in ourselves, but we witness growth within our family. How you are growing spiritually. Wow. That's why we do what we do. That's why we love doing what we're doing. You think if we didn't love what we were doing, we would still be here? No, just so. So, let me wrap it up. James, if you can come and tinkle, tinkle, that would be fantastic. Thanks. I have a question, a reflecting question. It's now gone silent. Here it comes. What's growing in you? I don't want you to brush this off. I want you to focus. I don't want people walking around. I really want you to focus. What is growing in you? Am I right to assume that something should be growing? So what is growing in you? Is love growing? Is joy growing? Is peace growing? Are you becoming more patient? Are you perhaps showing more kindness? Are you releasing more of the goodness? Are you being more faithful, more gentle? Is it evident in your life that you have more self-control? Note, I did not ask what is perfect in you. I did also not ask what fruit of the Spirit does other people see in you. I'm asking you what is growing in you. Because as you grow, and as I grow, so we become more and more Christ-like.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.